Robert Murray, MLB writer for FanRag Sports. He is down at National Harbor, Maryland for the MLB winter meetings. And Rob, today, the kind of Blue Jay world, Blue Jay Nation blew up a little bit with the Steve Pierce signing. Not so much because everybody's excited about Steve Pierce. It's not that much of an exciting signing, really, in reality. No offense to Steve Pierce. But more so because it feels like it signals the end of Edwin Encarnacion's Blue Jay career.
Yeah, that's a feel in the lobby right now, actually. It seems like there's a general consensus that Encarnacion has played his last game in Toronto. But nobody has really confirmed that quite yet, but that's a general feel in the lobby right now.
Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, it's kind of hard to build a team with Kendrys Morales, Justin Smoke, Steve Pierce, and Edwin Encarnacion taking up four roster spots, right? I mean, on that sense alone, roster makeup alone, it seems hard for the Blue Jays to kind of fit in Edwin, especially with all the other holes that they have to fill.
Yeah, exactly. And the feel around here is that the Blue Jays so far, I mean, they've signed Morales and Pierce, as you said, but they've really had their roster go down in terms of talent, with Morales and Pierce replacing Encarnacion and Bautista. It seems like they're not going to be big-time contenders in the AL East this year with the Yankees and Red Sox and Orioles.
Yeah, and you know, I think the offseason still has some to be done. We have heard this evening from one of our Blue Jay insiders that is down there at the winter meetings that seems like Dexter Fowler has become the Blue Jays' number one priority tonight. What are you feeling with the Dexter Fowler market? We know John Heyman did report an offer of 4 years and $60 million was put on the table by the Blue Jays. Clearly Fowler would want more than that, but is his market as fruitful as people assumed it was going to be at the start of the offseason?
Yeah, that's a good question. Fowler, I mean, the Blue Jays make perfect sense for him. He was actually one of their top targets coming into the offseason. Another name that was mentioned with them was Josh Reddick. But with Fowler, the Blue Jays are definitely interested. It also seems like, as you said, his market seems to be a little lesser than was expected. One team that was mentioned was the Giants, but with the Mark Melancon signing, that seems to have taken him out of the sweepstakes. Fowler's market may not be what we thought it would be, but I still think he gets a contract that suits how he's played last year for the Cubs.
Yeah, and you know, this entire offseason market has been kind of baffling a little bit. You know, it just seems like sluggers, and Fowler doesn't really fit that type of profile as a slugger. But you know, guys like Edwin and Bautista and Mark Trumbo, maybe it's because of the CBA and the way that the market has been moving slowly since it took a while for the CBA to get done, but it feels like there's not as big a market for sluggers as there once was.
Yeah, it really seems that way. And I mean, as you mentioned with Mark Trumbo, he's coming off of a career year. And I mean, the only team that we've really heard to be interested in the sweepstakes besides the Orioles is the Colorado Rockies. And seeing Trumbo's power, how he had, I believe, over 40 home runs last year.
He did 70 in Colorado.
Yeah, honestly, it would be incredible. I would love to see his power in Colorado playing full time. That would be, I think he'd put on a show.
Yeah, that would be kind of nuts if that were to happen. I mean, it's wild to see where the market is going. And you know, you mentioned Mark Melancon, 4 years and over $60 million with the Giants. As much as sluggers may be finding it tougher on the market these days. Relievers, not so much. Like even Joaquin Benoit is getting $7.5 million as a 40-plus-year-old reliever. The market for relievers is just crazy right now.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the two big names, of course, are Kenley Jensen and Aroldis Chapman.
Right.
Jensen, I believe it's going to end up coming down to the Dodgers and the Marlins for him. If you asked me a week ago, I would have said that Jensen was going to stay with the Dodgers. But I'm starting to think now that the Marlins are becoming a legitimate suitor. And I had two agents today speculate that he's probably going to end up getting a deal within 5 years and $80 million, which, if my math is correct, is $18 million per season.
Wow.
And then then there was a report today, I can't remember where it was from, that Aroldis Chapman is seeking 6 years at about the $100 million mark. If he ends up getting that, I mean, he's a great reliever, don't get me wrong, but giving 6 years and $100 million to a reliever, that seems to be a bit excessive.
It does seem a bit excessive. I would largely agree with that. As much as you know, big bullpens have been the story of the last couple of off seasons, for a guy, at the end of the day, you know, most of these closers are only pitching one inning. And until you get to the postseason, you don't really use them for more. And so it's hard for me to really see where you recoup that value if you're spending that much of your salary budget on one guy to pitch, what, 60, 70 innings over the course of a season?
Yeah, I mean, and you see these contracts of guys that Melanson will get, or that he has gotten, and then the contracts that Chapman and Jansen are going to get, and then you just think the Andrew Miller deal, who, when he signed with the Yankees, turns out to be an absolute steal. He's not even making $10 million a year, and he's probably the best reliever in baseball. There's no way that Jansen and Chapman are going to get less than $10 million, but it just shows the type of value that the Yankees got in Miller. And, I mean, I would say he's due for a new contract. I mean, is he going to get it? Probably not, but he's definitely deserving of a pay raise.
Robert Murray, our guest here on Sportsnet tonight. You can follow him on Twitter at Robert Murray, FRS. He is with FanRag Sports. So what's the trade market looking like down there, Rob, at the winter meetings? It's, a lot of talk surrounding Chris Sale and the Nationals, if the Chicago White Sox and Washington will hook up for a deal. Also, Andrew McCutchen has really taken a lot of talk over the last couple of days and how the Pirates would like to move on from McCutchen. What is the trade market looking like? What are you hearing? And could we see a lot of deals done over the course of this week?
You mentioned Chris Sale and Andrew McCutchen. I don't think any of them get traded just because, I mean, the demand for them or the asking price is so significant. You have teams for Sale that are mentioned, like the Nationals and the Braves. And, as I said, you see that they're interested, but you also see that they're not interested in dealing their top prospects. And it's going to take a premium to get those elite talent type of players. And, I mean, that unless there's a change in their thinking, I don't see the Braves or the Nationals trading for a Chris Sale. And then with McCutchen, that's the same applies with the Nationals, who have been mentioned with them, or who have been mentioned as the possible suitors for McCutchen. And then I think on the reliever market, I think the name that we're going to end up hearing about is Wade Davis with the Royals. He's coming off, well, he was injured at the end of the last season, and I could see the Astros being a fit for him. I think that he's going to end up being one of the guys that draws the most interest on the trade market.
The Royals have been talked about a lot today and what they may do, and if they are going to move off some pieces. Are the Royals maybe interested in getting into a bit of a rebuild mode here, or is that too early to say?
I think that's a little bit too early to say, and I apologize. There is a plane flying right over my head, so I'm sure you're hearing that right now.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to pull out rebuild. I think they're going to do what's best for the team, and they're not going to just trade players and trade players. They're going to try to get value or for their players, and I think that's going to end up happening with Davis. I think he's the most likely to go.
Why are we seeing so many teams go that rebuild route? Is it just because in recent years we've seen the Cubs and the Astros and now the Braves are doing it, and we're seeing a lot of teams get a lot of talent quicker than maybe years ago, and now we're seeing it come to the majors quicker. We're seeing it have more success, prospects delivering at a higher rate than they did in the past, and first round picks seem like gold now. Like, why are we seeing more teams contemplate a full-on tank and rebuild situation?
Yeah, I mean, as you said, I think it's just because of the Cubs and the Astros and seeing what they're doing and the success they've had with the pieces they brought in or drafted. But the thing is that with the Cubs and Astros, the thing with them is that they were patient with their players. They let them grow in the minors. They didn't rush them. You saw that with Chris Bryant. and Addison Russell, who they brought in for Justin Marja. If a team is going to go the rebuilding route, they have to have patience with their top prospects. They can't rush them into major leagues because that's just going to hurt them more than help them. You've seen that happen throughout the majors a lot. It's just the patience aspect, I think that's the biggest thing for a team that needs to be rebuilding this offseason.
Hey, Rob, really appreciate your time tonight. Enjoy the rest of the winter meetings. I don't think there's going to be a shortage of news over the next couple of days.
Yeah, the first 2 days have been pretty slow. I'm expecting it to pick up. I mean, the lobby's buzzing, I can tell you that. We're just waiting for a move to happen. So, hey, thanks for having me on. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks very much. And again, you can follow Rob at Robert Murray, FRS, writer and reporter for FanRag Sports.